Welcome to Spotlight on Africa. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Today, we're taking an in-depth look at the upcoming Zanzibar elections on March 20th. We're going to look at the situation from two perspectives, historical and current. First, Emma Hunter is a lecturer in African history at the University of Edinburgh and the author of the recently published book, Political Thought and the Public Sphere in Tanzania, Freedom, Democracy, and Citizenship in the Era of Decolonization. She talks to us about how there is a legacy of mistrust stemming from the beginnings of modern Zanzibar.
In the politics of the early 1960s that led up to the revolution, the elections were held as they were across the decolonizing world in the run-up to independence. In Zanzibar, those elections were in 1961, 1963, and they were both won by the ZNP, the Zanzibar National Party. They got a majority of seats on the Legislative Council. But actually in 1963, it was the Afro Shirazi Party, the alternative party, that won 54% of the popular vote. But still, it was the Zanzibar National Party that was asked to form the government. And so some of this sort of breakdown of trust, you can see, you can trace it back to that initial decision. And that's what led the Afro Shirazi Party to ultimately groups within it, at least, particularly the youth within it who were more radical, to feel that they'd been cheated of power and to turn to violence. And the outcome was the revolution of January 1964, which saw the Afro Shirazi Party take power and the Sultan was deposed. That created the basis for coming to power of the Afro Shirazi Party on Abed Karume. And that, of course, is the position that continues right through to the post-colonial period. When you talk about the sort of lack of trust today, these fault lines are in some ways created by that initial political context. So CCM, Chama Cha Mapinduzi, is the successor of the Afro Shirazi Party. The links are a little bit less direct in the case of the Soviet United Front, the US, but still there's a sense in which this is a continuation of older political arguments.
How is Zanzibar seen by the mainland, and how does this affect political will in Dar es Salaam?
I'd really want to stress the historical basis of the challenges in that relationship between the mainland and Zanzibar. The union that was established in April 1964 was something like a marriage of convenience. It suited both sides to come together at that point, because in the aftermath of the January Revolution, there had been growing concerns internationally about Zanzibar. There was a fear that Zanzibar was going to become something like a Cuba off the east coast of Africa. It was a time of political insecurity in the mainland as well. There had been army mutinies in Dar es Salaam in January 1964. So the union is a sort of compromise, and the basis of that compromise is to say, well, we unite, that ensures that there isn't going to be any external intervention, that we're not going to be dragged into Cold War politics. But it left Zanzibar with this status of semi-autonomy. In The Economist magazine, they described Julius Nyerere as being like a python which had swallowed its animal but hadn't yet digested it. And that sort of sums up, in a way, Zanzibar's status within the union. It kind of keeps its integrity within the union. It's never quite clear how this relationship is going to evolve. And Abed Karume was very, very emphatic that he was not going to take orders from Dar es Salaam or from Dodoma. So when we see today this reluctance on the mainland to intervene and this insistence that decisions about the election in Zanzibar are really decisions for the Zanzibar Electoral Commission, this comes out of a long history right through the 1960s, 70s, 80s of the mainland struggling to know what to do about Zanzibar and being reluctant to intervene in the internal politics of Zanzibar. It's something we see in the days of Julius Nyerere as well, and we still see echoes of that today.
And what about the legacy of one-party rule?
It's perhaps quite important to emphasize in the case of Tanzania, because of course many African countries have now had experience of transition from one party to another. And it remains the case that that hasn't happened either in Tanzania mainland or in Zanzibar. There was, of course, a power sharing agreement in Zanzibar between 2010 and 2015. But that's not quite the same as handing power from one party to another. And it briefly looked as though that might be what was going to happen in October 2015 after the Zanzibar elections. And of course, that didn't happen because of the elections being and out. Perhaps thinking about that in the context of Tanzania not yet having had a transition, it helps us to understand one of the difficulties with this contemporary electoral politics. And I think that is a legacy of this long history of single party rule up to 1995, and the fact that while multi-party elections have been taking place since 1995, it hasn't led to the sorts of transfers of power that we've seen elsewhere.
That was Emma Hunter, a lecturer in African history at the University of Edinburgh. In contrast to the historical aspects of Zanzibari politics, we spoke to Richard Mbunda, a lecturer at the University of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. He speaks about how mistrust between the parties has colored the whole electoral process.
The Zanzibar issue is very complex in itself because of the mistrust that exists between the two groups. Although we have political parties, Chama cha Mapinduzi Zanzibar and the Civic United Front, these parties represent core political interests of certain groups. For example, CCM basically presents a group that has enjoyed political power from 1964, and now they are not ready to relinquish power. While the Civic United Front represents a group of people who have allegedly suffered exclusion from the day of the revolution to the present, and they are struggling to capture state power through democratic means. But in between it, the mistrust would not allow a smooth transfer of power, even if they win elections in Zanzibar. That is at the core of what we see today as the political tension in the island.
With CUF, the Civic United Front, under Secretary General Saif Sharif Hamad, they are threatening to boycott these upcoming elections on the 20th of March. I mean, wouldn't this place the union with the mainland at risk?
Well, it is at a very critical stage. I don't see them going to the elections because, of course, given the mistrust, I think the outcome can be more or less the same. Because the allegations are there that the Civic United Front has won elections from 1995, but they have never given, you know, the opportunity to rule Zanzibar. So that's why I think they thought it is meaningless to participate in elections, that at the end of the day, even if you win, you will never rule Zanzibar.
Zanzibaris have not even chosen the president of Tanzania, the current president of Tanzania.
That's very true, because the Zanzibar Electoral Commission is often used as an agent of the National Electoral Commission, which is a union election body. The voters in Zanzibar are given 5 ballot papers. They vote for the union president, member of parliament to represent that constituency to the union parliament, but also they vote for the president of Zanzibar, the House of Representatives, and the local councillor there in Zanzibar. If you say, for example, that the number of people were allowed to vote and the votes did not tally, that means there were votes that also have been counted for the union elections that were fraudulent. So basically, there's no logic at all. That's why even local experts here and lawyers, they also said that if we are going to cancel the elections in Zanzibar, and even the votes for the union president and the union members of parliament should be cancelled. But then make these bodies, and I think this is one of the biggest problems in this election, we are entrusting powers to election bodies, but without knowing that we want them to be independent, but they might use that independence to do things that will affect certain groups. And that's what has happened.
If CUF decides not to participate and the vote goes ahead, how is this going to be viewed by people on the mainland?
It is tricky because even if they refuse to participate in the election, and I think this election is going to be held, if they are being given a go-ahead to continue ruling Zanzibar for the next 5 years, I don't see why CCM will not carry on with the elections plan in Zanzibar. What I actually don't know is at the next step that CUF is planning to take, because elections will be held and CCM will win elections. They will rule Zanzibar for the next 5 years. And the reaction here in the mainland is also divided, because now that Dr. Magufuli, the new president of Tanzania, is attracting a lot of support and he has become so much popular, I don't see so much people like being aggrieved by what is happening in Zanzibar. I know members of UKAWA and of course the Civic United Front in mainland Tanzania will react, and they might react even violently like they did in the past through demonstrations. But because it is a few days before the elections are held, I don't see anything to show that people are very much discontented with what is happening in Zanzibar.
That was Richard Mbunda, a lecturer at the University of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. That's all the time we have today. Thanks for listening. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto.